faithfulness to you and your family. Thank you very much for that. Well, since Thanksgiving is on Thursday, I thought it might be helpful to take this Sunday and just to reflect upon Thanksgiving. And I've entitled our message this morning, The Beatitude of Gratitude. Many of us have heard of the expression, the attitude of gratitude. But I would like to go a step further than that and actually address the beatitude of gratitude. You say, well, what is a beatitude? Well, a beatitude is a statement of blessedness upon those who have a certain quality. So the beatitudes of our Lord are, blessed are the poor in spirit, for they shall inherit the kingdom of God. Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. On and on and on. So the beatitude of gratitude will address the blessings upon the life of those who habitually give thanks to God for the things in their life. So that's what I want us to look at this morning. We all know that we're supposed to give thanks in all things and at all times. In Ephesians chapter 5, verse 20, the Apostle Paul tells us that we are to be always giving thanks for all things in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ to God, even the Father. Again, in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 18, Paul tells us, in everything give thanks, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. It is God's will, beloved, that we be a thankful people and that we give thanks at all times and for all things. Thanksgiving must be the spice that we add to all of the incense that we offer up on the altar of prayer. Our thanksgiving to God should be like the evergreen tree that is always green year-round and unaffected by the changes in the weather, whether it's the heat of the summer or the cold of the winter. The evergreen is evergreen. And our life in giving thanks should be like that evergreen tree. We should be evergreen in giving thanks to God regardless of the changing climates in which we live. Whether we're experiencing the heat of a very stressful and hectic week or the icy cold circumstances of some trial, we should stand evergreen in giving thanks to God regardless of the changing circumstances around us. But we wrestle with this, don't we? Satan has many axes by which he tries to chop down this evergreen tree in our hearts. He would poison the roots of it if he could. And the world and our own flesh often join hands in the attempt. We not only struggle in giving thanks to God, most of us struggle in giving thanks to anyone for the blessings or the kindness or the benefits that we draw from them. We struggle so much in giving thanks that one man said, blessed is he who expects no gratitude, for he shall not be disappointed. So husbands and wives, we rarely give thanks to our spouse for the blessings we receive. Parents rarely give thanks to their children, children to their parents. We don't give thanks for those around us who bless us. Basically, we're an unthankful people oftentimes. Well, there's several things I would like for us to look at. First off, before we actually look at the blessings that come to those who have a thankful heart, I want to briefly look at some obstacles to gratitude. We're going to be looking at a variety of scriptures this morning, so we're out of our series on Hebrews this week, but I'd like for us to look at a number of principles concerning this area. One of the great obstacles to gratitude is just the fact that we just forget where our blessings come from. It's just kind of the natural amnesia that we get spiritually. When we go through life, We find ourselves surrounded by all of these blessings, and yet we just begin to think that we earned them. We did them. We worked for them. They are ours. They belong to us. This was the sad attitude that Moses warned the Israelites in Deuteronomy chapter 8. He said, you're going to inherit the promised land. God's going to take you into the land. He's going to defeat all your enemies. He's going to take you into a land. You're going to find houses already built to live in. You're going to find crops that you can harvest and enjoy. You're going to have all these blessings around you, and you're going to have prosperity within the land. But he says, when you go into the land, I want you to be very, very careful that your heart does not become swollen with pride and you forget the Lord your God. And you say in your heart, my power and the strength of my hand made me this wealth. And he adds, but you shall remember the Lord your God, for it is he who is giving you power to make wealth, that he may confirm his covenant which he swore to your fathers as it is this day. See, the tendency he warned them about is that they would enjoy the prosperity of living in the land, but they would develop this sense where they forget that it's God who gave them the power to make those blessings come a reality in their life. It's God who gave them the ability to work on that job. It's God who gave them that salary. God that gave them that income. God gave them ability to buy the things that they enjoy. It's all from God. God gave them the physical strength. God gave them the mind. God gave them the discipline. God gave them the diligence. It all comes from God. So that when we have all the blessings around us, we should never forget that it's God who gave us the power to make wealth. It's God who gave us those blessings, not ourselves. So that the first obstacle to gratitude is that we take personal credit for our own prosperity. Now, if someone asked you, we would say, oh, sure, it comes from God. But we'll say that then. But how often are we thanking God for those blessings? How often do we pause and praise God for the abundance of the good things that are in our life? Well, then we fall short. Because there's a sense in which we become forgetful. This tendency to just begin to assume that these blessings are ours instead of acknowledging that each and every one of them comes from God. A second obstacle to gratitude is just the consistency of God's blessings. We're immersed in them every single day. We have so many blessings around us. They are so abundant that we begin to just take them for granted. The Bible tells us that the mercies of God are fresh every morning. They are new every morning and every evening, and so God just surrounds us with His loving kindness and His blessings every single day. And we have so many of them that we just become blind to the reality that each and every one of them has been handpicked and given to us by our Father in heaven, every single one. I do not doubt that if you and I were to start at this moment and make a list of the things that we have been blessed with, that we could easily write down 10,000 blessings. I have no doubt in my mind that everyone in this room, if you started to count your blessings, you could easily come up with 10,000 of them. And how many of them do we ever thank God for? It's the idea that God has so surrounded us with so many blessings every single day that we just enjoy taking from God without ever stopping to give thanks to Him for what He's given us. It's interesting that the mere abundance and consistency of God's blessings can be an obstacle to gratitude because we're just surrounded with them. That's why a fish doesn't know that he's wet. Because he lives in it all the time. He's in water all the time. He doesn't know anything but that. And we live in God's blessings all the time. We don't know anything but the blessings of God. And so we look around and we just take it all for granted. Well, a thankless heart certainly indicates a lack of grace. There's a story told of H.A. Ironside, who was an old preacher up north. He went into a crowded restaurant to have a meal, and as he was about ready to eat, a man came and asked if he could sit down at his table. He said, "Sure, have a seat." And before he started to eat, he bowed his head and he gave thanks to God for his food. The man who sat down at his table didn't really know what he was doing, and he asked him if he had a headache. He said, "No, I don't have a headache." He says, "Well, is something wrong with your food?" And he said, "No, nothing's wrong with my food. I'm simply giving thanks to God as I always do before I eat." The man said, "Oh, you're one of those kind." He said, "I want you to know that I never give thanks for my food. I earn my money by the sweat of my brow. I don't have to give thanks to anybody when I eat. I just start right in." And Ironside said to him, "Yep, you're just like my dog." He says, "That's what he does too. A dog's belly is his God." And you know, whenever we begin to live our life in such a way that we stop giving thanks for even the small blessings in life, we just reveal that we have a heart that's lacking grace. Because a graceless heart does not see the hand of God around them. They just merely take the blessings of God like a dog and never stop to give thanks to God. Remember watching that movie, Babe, you know, about the pig? Everybody seen the movie, Babe? There's a Christmas scene in there when the little girl is coming in and she's opening up her presents, and she opens up this great big present, and it's this very expensive, elaborate dollhouse. And the little girl, when she sees it, looks at it, and suddenly starts into this wall-eyed fit. I mean, she throws a temper tantrum. She's jumping up and down, and she's complaining. She's crying. "I didn't want that one. I wanted the one from I saw on the TV." And at that moment, every parent wrestles with the temptation about the benefits of waterboarding. Because really there's nothing more ugly than ingratitude. Now, I'm teasing on the waterboarding, but you, I mean, admit it, parents. I mean, you probably thought about that at times. But nothing is uglier than an ungrateful heart, whether it's among children or husbands or wives. There is nothing uglier than someone who is given blessings and they show no appreciation for it. See, a heart that is thankless indicates a lack of grace in the heart. Well, let's consider for a moment the beatitude of gratitude, because what I want to do is to encourage you to up the thanksgiving. And one of the great benefits that I have and those who preach and teach have is that we get a few days head start on you guys to try to bring this more practical into our hearts before we have to tell you to do it. Because I struggle with these things as well. We're all in the same boat together. But the first thing about the beatitude of gratitude is that God delights in a thankful heart. It's something he rejoices in. He surely delights in it. And part of the reason for that is that the Psalms tell us is that when we give thanks to God, we magnify him with thanksgiving. Do you realize that? When we give thanks to God, we magnify God. We lift him up. We exalt him. Psalm 50, verse 23 says, "He who offers a sacrifice of thanksgiving honors me." And Psalm 22 says that God is holy, and He's enthroned upon the praises of Israel. In other words, God's throne is made up, if you will, of the praises and the thanksgivings of the people of God. So that when we give thanks to God, it's almost as if it creates a throne in our hearts upon which the Lord of glory sits. So how big is that throne in your heart? How large is it? Or how small is it? Because God delights in the heart that gives Him praise and thanksgiving because it magnifies Him and creates the throne upon which He sits in the hearts of His people. God does not delight in a heart that is not thankful. And too often times we pray for blessings, but we are not thankful for the blessings we have already received. And when God hears a prayer like that of someone that's saying, "Oh Lord, give me this blessing," but He just gave you another blessing that you asked for the other day and you never thanked Him for that blessing, and now you're asking Him for another blessing, and God is less inclined to show favor upon that heart. I mean, parents, don't you experience that sometimes with your kids? They want things, you give them a blessing. They want another thing, you go buy it for them. They never come back and say thanks to you. And they come up and they want more and more. And eventually you just kind of say, "Well, you know, I'm not sure I want to give you that." So God does not delight in a heart that is not thankful. Because when we do pray for additional blessings, we're just praying very selfish prayers. And God knows that. So, first point, God delights in a thankful heart. Some of the blessings that come to those who do develop the habit of a perpetual thanksgiving to God in their heart are these. First off, gratitude will bring additional blessings to your life. I want you to turn in your Bibles to Luke chapter 17, if you will, for a moment. Luke chapter 17. Gratitude will bring additional blessings into your life. In Luke chapter 17, we have this very familiar passage that's probably being preached on in 1,000 different churches this morning about the 10 lepers that are being cleansed by our Lord. If you look at verse 16, you know the story well. 10 lepers came to the Lord. They asked to be cleansed, and He cleansed all 10 of them. 9 of them left. 1 came back. And we read in verse 16 that he fell on his face at his feet, giving thanks to Him. And he was a Samaritan. And then Jesus answered and said, "Were there not 10 cleansed, but the 9, where are they? Was no one found who returned to give glory to God except this foreigner?" And then notice verse 19. Here's the added blessing. "And he said to him, stand up and go. Your faith has made you well." Or literally it says, "Your faith has saved you." See, 10 of them got the lesser blessing, but God held out His greatest blessing to the one with a thankful heart. How many blessings do we lose from God because we don't give thanks for the last blessing that we received? See, God gives extra blessings to those who have a thankful heart. That's one of the beatitudes, one of the blessings of gratitude, is that God will give you more blessings. And the 9 missed out because they did not return to give thanks to God. The second blessing that comes to those who have a thankful heart is that gratitude brings God's peace to your heart. Now, you know we're going to go over this one because we've read this in Philippians 4. So turn back to Philippians 4. But there's a phrase in here that I think oftentimes we overlook when we meditate on Philippians chapter 4, verse 6 and 7. I'm sure you observed this when we read it in our scripture reading this morning. But Philippians chapter 4, look at verse 6 and 7. There's an important qualifier for receiving the peace of God. It says, "Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. Let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all comprehension, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus." Now, the peace of God doesn't just come to those who pray and petition God. It doesn't come to just those who pray. It comes to those who pray and petition God with thanksgiving. So, you're full of anxiety. You're full of worry. You're stressing out because of the circumstances in your life. The peace of God doesn't come until we humble ourselves and acknowledge the sovereignty of God. And we give thanks to Him for the trial that we're going through, knowing that a sovereign God has ordained that trial and will use that trial to make me more like Jesus Christ. The essence of giving thanks to God acknowledges that God is involved. Why would you give thanks to God for the circumstances that are stressing you out and making you full of anxiety and fear and worry? How can you give thanks to God for that unless you're acknowledging that God is involved, that God is sovereign, that God's in control? And those who humbly bow before the sovereignty of God and acknowledge, "Oh Lord, I don't understand what you're doing, but I know that this is a part of your sovereign plan for my life." And it's when we yield to that precious truth of the sovereignty of God that the peace of God, there's a door open for this incredible peace which surpasses all understanding to come into your heart. There is nothing that imparts the peace of God to a troubled heart more than a deep conviction that God is a sovereign God, and that all of these circumstances and all these trials have a part to play in God's purpose in our life. And so it's with thanksgiving that brings the peace of God. You take out the phrase "with thanksgiving" and you don't get from verse 6 to verse 7. That "with thanksgiving" is the key, because it brings in the acknowledgement of the sovereignty of God. And when we do that, beloved, the door is opened for God's peace to come in. I think a lot of times we don't get the peace of God when we're struggling with fears and anxiety because we don't humble ourselves and acknowledge that God is good, wise, and sovereign, and that these circumstances have an essential part to play in our life. If you can come to that biblical conviction, then the peace of God has a platform to come and land upon. In 1555, Nicholas Ridley was burned at the stake with his good friend Latimer because of their witness for Christ. When we were in England, we had the incredible privilege of being right at the place in the street marked with an X in bricks in the pavement of the road where supposedly the stake was that they were burned alive at. It was a very moving and touching time for us, particularly for me, just reading the story there and reviewing the faith and the courage of these men who were burned alive for their faith in Jesus Christ. On the night before they were burned, Ridley's brother offered to remain with him in the prison chamber to be of assistance and comfort for him, since he was going to be burned the next day. And Nicholas declined the offer. And he replied that he intended to go to bed, to sleep as quietly as ever he did in his life, because he knew the peace of God. And he could rest in the strength of the everlasting arms of his Lord to meet his need. And the next day, before they lit the fires, he publicly gave thanks to God, acknowledging the sovereignty of God. And it was the acknowledgement of God as a sovereign God, even in the circumstances that was bringing about his death, that enabled him, like Peter, to fall asleep on the night of their execution. This is the power of a thankful heart. It's a power that enables us to latch into the sovereignty of God, which brings down the peace of God into our hearts. And only those who trust in a sovereign God can know the peace of God on that level. A third blessing that comes to those with a thankful heart is joy. The Bible oftentimes links joy with a thankful heart. A thankful person does not carry around the burdens and troubles like other people do, and so they're naturally going to have more joy in their heart. A thankful heart is continually feasting on the goodness of God that they see around their life all the time. They see God's hand of blessing upon them, and joy is a natural byproduct of being thankful to God. I've told the story before of little Peg Chastain, a little old woman. She was in her 80s at a retirement center down in Norman that I used to teach a Sunday Vespers service at a few years ago. Little Peg Chastain, she was basically a physical basket case. She was bent over double. She walked with a cane. And she hobbled. She could not lift her back up more than about right there. And she would hobble in on her cane. And this precious woman, she was just overflowing with the joy of the Lord. It's just amazing. It was so convicting, such a blessing. I was there on one Sunday when it was her birthday, so they wanted her to address the people for a moment or two, She walked up there, and the woman had the mic because there was a big bunch of people there, and she just grabbed that old mic, you know, like, oh, man, is this going to be an hour or what? And she started just thanking people. I mean, out of her heart flowed nothing but thanksgiving. Oh, I'm so thankful to God for the office workers here because they take such good care of us. And oh, for those who do the laundry and keep our linens and our towels clean. Oh, I'm just so thankful to God for what they do. And the cooks, I haven't met any of those cooks, but I'm so thankful to God for the good food that they prepare. And I think they finally just had to jerk the mic out of her. I mean, she had gone forever, I think. But here's a woman that had many, many reasons to grumble and complain. But her little heart overflowed with thanksgiving because she was focused on her blessings, not on her burdens. And that's what a thankful heart does. And that's why a thankful heart will have more joy than an unthankful heart will. What do you focus on? Are you someone that focuses on your burdens, or do you focus on your blessings? That will directly affect the amount of joy that you have in your life. Number four, gratitude brings confidence in the hour of trial. Daniel chapter 6, verse 10, Daniel just found out that the document was signed by the king, that if anyone prayed to any other god or man besides the king for 30 days, they would be thrown in the lion's den. So in Daniel chapter 6, verse 10, Daniel went up to his room. continued to pray three times a day on his knees to God in violation of the decree, giving thanks to God. And the giving thanks to God in that hour of trial indicated that he had confidence in what God was doing. So you can give thanks to God if you're confident that he knows what he's doing. And in that hour of trial, the attitude, the gratitude that he had brought confidence to his heart to face the deadly trial that was before him, because he acknowledged that God was to be trusted, that he had confidence in God to execute his holy plan, and this enabled him to have confidence in a day that would have caused most of us probably to crater in fear. Confidence is another blessing that thankfulness brings to the heart. And finally, gratitude prepares the heart for worship. You know, you're better able to worship God with a thankful heart. You ought to work very hard on coming to church with a thankful heart, because thankfulness prepares your heart for worship. Psalm 95, verse 2 says, "Let us come before his presence with thanksgiving." Come before his presence with thanksgiving. And Psalm 100, verse 4 says, "Enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Give thanks to him. Bless his name." So that what thanksgiving does, it opens the door for worshiping God. In other words, a thankful heart is like the colt upon which Jesus rode as he entered Jerusalem. It carries the Savior into the city. And so a thankful heart is like that colt that brings Christ into the heart of the worshiper. It enables us to worship the Lord with greater fervor in spirit and in truth. So that a heart of gratitude prepares the heart for worship. That's why we need to learn to give thanks to God at all times and for all things, because it glorifies God, it magnifies God, it honors God. It praises him for his sovereignty and goodness and wisdom in your life. And it will load up your heart with more blessings. Give God's peace to your troubled waters of your life. Bring joy and confidence to your heart and enable you to enter into God's presence and worship him in spirit and in truth. Well, briefly, how do we increase gratitude to God? Well, put your spiritual blessings at the top of the list, not the bottom. Remember in Luke chapter 10, verse 17 through 20, the disciples came back to the Lord. "Lord, we've been casting out demons." And I really think the attitude is, "Ain't we hot stuff? You know, look at what we've been doing, Lord. I mean, we got these demons on the run." And the Lord rebuked them with these words. He said, "Don't rejoice that you can cast out demons, but rejoice that your names have been written in heaven." In other words, all these other things that you find something that you can rejoice in, you may not be able to do that tomorrow. You may lose that blessing the next day. It may be something that you have today, but it's gone here in the short future. So why put your best blessings or your best thanksgiving upon the things that you can lose? But rather, we should put our spiritual blessings at the top. Thank God for the blessings that we can never lose: our salvation in Jesus Christ, our forgiveness of our sins. These are the things. Our election, that God has chosen us, he has sent Christ to redeem us, that we have everlasting life before us. These should always be the things we give thanks to God for. This is the mark of a wise man. Lash your thanksgiving to the blessings which can never be lost, the ones you still have when all others are gone. And that will help you increase gratitude to God. because that way every hour you've got something you can thank God for, right? Next, remember every day what you deserve. What do you deserve? Huh? Hell. What else do you deserve? Death? Nothing. You deserve hell. That's it. That's all you get. All you deserve. It's what Paul said. He said in Ephesians 2, by nature, we're children of wrath. That's all we deserve, hell. You don't deserve anything else. You don't deserve a single blessing. You really don't even deserve a single happiness. And yet we're in such an entitlement society that we think we deserve everything. We think we have all these rights to everything. And yet really all we deserve is the wrath of God. I'm convinced that if we remember this, we will be much more inclined to have a thankful heart. Too often times we are so greedy and so unthankful, it really murders thankfulness in the heart. It's like Andrew Carnegie, the multimillionaire that left $1 million for one of his relatives, who in return cursed him. Get $1 million and you curse the guy who gave you $1 million. Why? Well, because Carnegie left $365 million to public charities and had cut him off with just one measly $1 million. So he cursed him. See, too many of us think like the prodigal when he's leaving his father's house than when he's returning to his father's house. And it's the thankful heart that realizes, oh God, I have sinned. And Father, I'm not worthy to be your son. Have mercy. See, that's the humble heart. The heart that remembers what he deserves. It took the pig pen to get him there. But that's the heart we need to have. Next, we need to find something to be thankful for regardless of our circumstances. Remember Paul's words, in everything give thanks. Scottish minister Alexander White was known for his uplifting prayers in the pulpit, and he always found something to give thanks to God for. But one Sunday morning, the weather was so miserable, it was so gloomy, that one of his church members thought to himself, certainly the preacher won't think of anything for which to thank the Lord on such a wretched day like this. Well, much to his surprise, Minister White began his prayer by saying, "We thank Thee, O God, that it's not always like this." There is always something to give thanks to God for. Always something. We just need God to open our eyes to see the magnitude of blessings that surround us. There are so many that we have become blind to. Well, in conclusion, those who make a habit of giving thanks to God will be more blessed than those who do not give thanks to God. They will be given additional blessings, as I've said, that the rest will not have. To remind you again, they will have God's peace and God's joy and God's confidence in the hour of trial. They'll be better fit to worship God if they have a thankful heart. A thankless heart will walk in spiritual dullness. It will not sense the presence nor the glory of God. A thankless heart will walk in darkness and will not enjoy the light of God's presence. A thankful heart, however, will bring down the glory of God upon that life. In 2 Chronicles chapter 5, there's this incredible scene where Solomon has just finished building the temple of God. And they brought in all the articles of the furniture. And the last thing they brought in is the Ark of the Covenant. And the priests have carried the Ark on their shoulders. And they've entered into the Holy of Holies. And they've set it down in exactly the right place. And all the priests have passed beyond the curtain, out of the temple. And now they're all standing out in the courtyard. And the Levitical singers and the musicians all rise up. And they bring out the cymbals and the harps and the lyres and the trumpets, and they begin to play. But it's when the singers began to glorify God with praise and thanksgiving. It's when the singers began to recite the glory of God and to praise Him for the bounty of His goodness and give praise and thanksgiving to His name. It's in response to the thanksgiving and the praise of God's people that the glory of God descended down upon the temple. The glory of God came in and entered the house of God in response to the thanksgiving and the praise and the glory of the people of God. See, this is the beatitude of gratitude. It's the blessings that come upon those who give thanks to God regularly and consistently as a habit in their life. And oh, may God open our eyes to see all those blessings around us, to make us sensitive, to open our eyes to see them so that there flows out of the fount of our heart a perpetual flowing stream of thanksgiving and gratitude to God for the abundance of blessings that we have every single day. Well, in this Thanksgiving season, may the Lord make us a thankful people that we might experience the beatitude of gratitude. Well, let's close in prayer. Our Father God, we just come before You this morning. And we just ask, Father, Your forgiveness upon the many times that we've committed that sin of omission, where we have omitted the praise and the thanksgiving that You are worthy of. And, oh God, we pray that You would give us hearts that literally overflow with thanksgiving to God as we see the bounty and the freshness and the multitude of the mercies and the good things that You have given to us every single day of our life. And may our lives overflow with that thankful heart, with the joy and all the other blessings that come with those who give thanks to God. Help us, Lord, to be a thankful people. For You are worthy and are enthroned upon the praises of Your people. And we give You praise and glory. In Jesus' name, amen.